They're happily married and they had a kid of their own. So that comes up to seven, Robert. Seven. And if you screw this up, buddy, that's seven payments of child support. Like, that's a lot.
Welcome back to the Bromar Show. I am your host, Bromar. And in this episode, we will have a special guest who happens to be a podcaster, another podcaster. Yes. And she has been part of this podcast community I have been involved with quite some time now. She is also a Canadian resident. And the best part about this is she is a Latin podcast nominee. We'll be talking to her here in just a couple moments. But first, I feel like every time I have a special guest, I'll have to talk about this. I got myself more cactus plants. And knowing that here in the Midwest, the colder season is approaching, so a lot of these cactuses may be scarce throughout this time of the season because, you know, it's colder weather and cactus tend to thrive in pretty harsh and hot conditions. And soon that's going to be over. But I went ahead and took the opportunity to find more and I found quite a lot. Really small, tiny ones just because I do not have like a huge greenhouse to put them in just yet. And mostly right now it's just smaller ones just to kind of test out and watch how they grow. And I'm thinking of getting some way of just recording their growth day by day as, you know, as time passes by, and soon edit that to like a time lapse thing, you know what I'm saying? So, which I think that'll be cool. There's not a lot of videos of time-lapsing cactuses growth, but I think that would be a pretty cool concept right there. The best part about this kind of cactus adventure is that I found myself this cactus is a LED light. It's this really nice light, and it's pretty awesome, and I think it'll fit well here in the Bromar Show studios. And I'm going to go ahead and just kind of rework around and just see where I can place most of these plants. And with that, if you notice that there is a bit of change in sound, it's because I have been moving stuff. So if it sounds a little more echoey than usual, it's because I moved in my clothes racks that were right next to my computer and just put it behind me a little further back. So yeah. It might change the sound a little bit, but I still have like a nice little curtain that I can bring down from time to time, especially when it gets dark. I just turn on the light and just bring down the curtain. So yeah, lots of moving around here because I decided to get more cactus plants and then I repotted them and I'm trying to find an adequate time for them to have them water and give them some fertilizer food because I really just want to see how they're going to grow. So yeah, that's pretty much the update in regards to the cactus family here in the Bromar Show studios. Today on the Bromar Show, we have a special guest here, part of a podcast community I'm currently involved with. She is also a Canadian resident. Along with that, she is a Latin podcast nominee. So here is Angelica, host of A Little Bit of Everything with Angelica.
Hey, Bromar, how are you? Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be on your show because I am a fan of yours.
Oh, thank you. I'm a fan of your show, too. I actually enjoy, especially the 90 Day Fiancé and the shower karaoke. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad. We got to have you for shower karaoke. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't have to sing.
Yeah.
You don't have to sing, so you're okay.
Yeah. So we're going to jump right into our segment here. So where are you from? Well, obviously from Canada, but specifically where?
Specifically. So I'm from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Toronto being the city, which most of you already heard or hear about. And Ontario is the province. I know you guys have states, but we have provinces.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I know back in my, I want to say middle school class, they actually made us study the provinces of Canada at some point and even the capitals, but I actually forgot about them here. So it's been a while since I had to learn those.
It's okay. It's not like you're expected to know anyway.
Yeah.
Unless you're coming here.
Yeah. So my next question would be, how would you describe yourself?
I'm a go-getter, hard worker, risk taker, likes to try new things, and I'm outgoing.
Nice. It's we need a lot of people like you out there today, especially in whatever field people are currently in. So this also will lead into a little bit about your podcast on what is it about.
So my podcast is a little bit of everything with me, like you mentioned earlier, and I do talk about reality TV like 90 Day Fiancé. I co-host a hit show called Shower or Karaoke. Mm-hmm. And I also do guest interviews, which involves like kind of getting to know these professionals and how their journey has been to becoming successful. But we highlight more of the downs, mm-hmm. and then we celebrate the ups and also kind of see what motivated them and how did they stay motivated and what inspired them to become who they are today, right? So mm-hmm. I usually have authors, coaches, even podcasters. I have actors, actresses, a whole bunch of people, because everybody can relate to some of their journeys. And it's always nice to hear how inspired they get and, you know, also why they started.
Nice. It's actually very inspirational, especially to hear from professionals just how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
One question I want to ask, I guess specifically in the podcast, what were some challenges along the way?
Ooh, so I know at the beginning was kind of finding out what you're going to do with the podcast. Mm-hmm. So it does take a couple of weeks to figure out what name am I going to call it? Is it going to be The Angelica Show? Is it going to be The Angelica Talks? Is it going to be Late Night with Angelica? Like, what is it going to be? So with creating the name of a little bit of everything, because I cannot just stick to one topic, I had mm-hmm. to kind of get into different topics. But along the way is trying to figure out, how am I going to navigate it? What am I going to do? How many episodes am I going to release? And, you know, where are we going to find content? And I'm saying we, like, I have a team of 100 people. Really, mm-hmm. I'm just a one person show. And throughout this whole challenge, being almost 2 years with the podcast and interviewed over 180 plus professionals and already released over 350 episodes, you're kind of like, how do I keep it consistent? And we keep seeing these, you know, how to start a podcast, how to grow your following, how to create an audience that's engaging and stuff. And as much as you read everything, it doesn't really tailor to your podcast, or sometimes it doesn't tailor to your audience, or sometimes it doesn't work for you in general. So it's really difficult. And a lot of people don't know that. And they think mm-hmm. it's just you and I can just get on here and say, hey, welcome to the Bromar Show. Mm-hmm. My name is Bromar. But, you know, there's so much to it. It's like, how am I going to create this vibe once I start recording? Is Bromar in a good mood today? Is Bromar happy? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of go through these, you know, scenarios, and especially for yourself, like, you're kind of cramming in like a lot of topics in one segment. Mm-hmm. So I give you kudos, because you got to have that material with you to kind of have a great flow of conversation. And for myself, it's more like, we're going to talk about 90 Day Fiancé on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I got mm-hmm. Shower Karaoke on Friday, and then I got Monday and Thursday, mm-hmm. I have a guest interview. So, you know, there's a lot of planning in place and challenges of, where else can I push my podcast? How mm-hmm. can I make it to the charts? How can I, you know, engage with my audience? Like, we started going into Facebook Lives for 90 Day Fiancé, because that's a whole new different world. And mm-hmm. it's crazy how we get 300 views in one night after it's been published. And then mm-hmm. once it goes onto the podcast, we've got our own, you know, really amazing fan base through the podcast. But everything is a challenge, really. Like, mm-hmm. you know, even putting up that episode that you think could be controversial, depending what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And especially like with your relationship advice, it's like, what am I doing? Is it going to be fun? Is it going to be comical? Like, what is that kind mm-hmm. of message that you want to send? So, you know, we're all unique. We're so creative. We're able to do whatever we like, but it's always that challenge. Once that episode gets scheduled, that's it. It's done. It's out there, and there's mm-hmm. no turning back. So it's always a challenge, but it's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally understand. I mean, the way, because I normally, most of it is kind of like some instinctive, but then at the same time, some it's like something just has to go this week. I mean, it might be lame, it might suck, but whole point is I pledged to whoever was listening that I was going to have an episode a week, or, you know, some actually anticipate at least, you know, a normal schedule. So at least, Yeah, so I understand where you're coming from that one. So now this will tie in a little bit more with the Latin podcast summoning, but what are some other accomplishments other than the Latin podcast nominee?
One of the biggest accomplishments will be, I can say, being able to come out of my shell. Mm-hmm. Because the whole point of this podcast, I was very shy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of looking back of that person who would go up to a stranger, kind of be like, hey, how's it going? Mm-hmm. Hoping that they will carry on the conversation. So now 2 years into this, you're just like, oh my gosh, I could talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like I can have a full conversation with a random person. And it's kind of scary because if we were to look back, you know, 2.5 years ago, that was a big struggle. And when I go to a networking event now, it's kind of like, hey, you know, what's going on? I heard you did this, this and that. Like, you know, tell me more about it. And now I've become like the podcaster on live when you're mm-hmm. meeting with these people, because you just want to get to know them a bit more. So that's one of the accomplishments, is being able to break out of my shell, build that confidence, and being able to really just say, this is who I am. This is what I do. And it's really awesome, from being shy, having that social anxiety, to, mm-hmm. hey, Bromar, I'm here.
Yeah.
So I could say, besides the Latin Podcast Awards nomination, it's the really coming out of my shell, and it's really awesome. And it's pretty cool that, you know, you were the shy person who can't even talk to anybody. Now mm-hmm. you're talking to millions of people, no matter who they are and what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. Now, this is kind of tying into currently our situation that we're all here. So what would you describe a day in your shoes before the pandemic?
Oh boy. So before the pandemic, I would wake up at 5:30, get ready to work, and mm-hmm. start work from either 6:30 or 7, and then finish at 4, come home at 4:30, get podcasting from 5 to 7, mm. and then start editing episodes, scheduling episodes, trying to figure out what to do tomorrow. If I've got any speaking engagements or anything that pretty much pertains to what I do with, besides a full-time job, and mm-hmm. I do have other projects that are happening. So that's what life was like. And, you know, networking on the phone with different people, and just trying to build that connection and try to build my network here locally, because I struggle through that. Because again, that should have been a challenge, is most of my listeners are from Europe and the USA. So Canada's kind of like a little bit slacking. And, you know, I'm trying to build that network and put a name, get my name out there locally. So meeting up with small businesses and trying to see what I can do to help them. And that was before the pandemic. And I was just like, oh my God, this year is going to be super awesome. Mm-hmm. Like I get to go to these amazing events, talk to more people, got speaking engagements lined up. And, you know, you're trying to plan that schedule before pandemic. And then during pandemic, nothing's really changed. because I continued to stay working. We were considered as an essential service, mm-hmm. and which I was kind of like, I guess that makes sense. And I still do the same thing. Nothing's changed. You're probably wondering like, okay, I can't wait to see how, you know, what happened during pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there wasn't nothing drastic. I kind of wish there was like this 2 week off thing happening, mm-hmm. but I was like, that's not going to happen, because in the industry that I work in full time,
mm-hmm.
if our industry shuts down, the economy shuts down, mm-hmm. and it's not a good thing. So yeah, nothing's really changed. But during pandemic, I can say it just got busier, because mm-hmm. all of these guests that I reached out to the beginning of the year, they were so busy. They had this, they had that, they were traveling, they had stuff scheduled. And during pandemic, it was like, hey, you know, can I come on the show? I'm home and I'm available anytime. And I had like 20 emails like that. I'm just like, dude. What am I going to do? Like, I need to hire somebody to kind of like, you know, I don't know, clone me to do these interviews. But
yeah.
I had to make it work and, you know, fit these people in, especially when they were off work, they had nothing to do. So that's the difference between before, during, and now, kind of like slowly getting back to normal, that people are calling it with, I'm saying this with air quotes,
mm-hmm.
back to normal. I'm just like, I have no normal. It's been like this since the beginning of the year. So So nothing's really changed. If things are going to change later on, not really, because clearly I've been consistent on a specific schedule and work still continues on.
Yeah, I understand. I know for like 2 weeks, I went through like a kind of like not busy phase, but then it like picked up to like a normal, like a routine. And then it's like, oh, well, back to step one again, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, I was on a bunch of conference calls where I was networking with other businesses. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, like, I don't have a life. These people are like, yeah, I have nothing to do. Let's stay on and talk more. And I'm like, no, I was just, I can feel like towards the end of the week, it was just like, wow, 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 wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandable. So then this kind of will tie in a little bit, too, with the pandemic. I mean, I don't know with your schedule, but do you have any favorite hobbies? And then did you pick up any new hobbies during the pandemic?
No, I did not pick up a new hobby, which I think my family would be like, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray. No, I did not pick up any new hobbies during the pandemic, but now I'm starting to, because I do volunteer for the Learning Disabilities Association. So they send us assignments about like writing articles and so people, they can publish it into local newspapers and such and kind of hear our point of view of what we go through as a person with a learning disability and or whoever's dyslexic and such. And there's obviously other disabilities under that umbrella. But, you know, I started to develop the thing with writing, which writing has been a struggle for me. So I think that's like my new thing because I am dying to write a book. But with these little article assignments, I'm like, okay, maybe this is something new to me. Maybe I can start publishing little tidbits here and there and kind of see how that goes. But I feel like writing is something that is a challenge, like I mentioned, but also maybe I can learn to love and appreciate it. And of course, this hobby podcasting has become kind of like a part-time job that doesn't pay for it, but you get paid with networking with amazing people and being able to get your name out there and, you know, hopefully you'll help somebody.
Yeah. And I know you discussed about how the pandemic affected you professionally, which I mean, nothing really has changed, but how has the pandemic affected you personally?
You know, I can say it really taught me to take on new challenges, take on some risks, and start new things because there were so many resources available to everybody. Like, I didn't know Harvard was giving away free courses, and I'm just like, damn, like I missed out on that. Yeah, they were just giving out courses and I forgot which other university or college. I'm not familiar, obviously. But the Harvard was the one that stand out to me because I heard it on a live show on Sirius XM and Michelle Collins was like, did you know Harvard was just doing free courses? And I'm like, damn it, like I have no time. But personally, at the beginning, it was a lot of anxiety. It was a lot of stress. And, you know, you're glued to your TV and especially at work, you're glued to your laptop watching streaming the news because you're like, am I going to shut down? Am I not going to have a job? Am I going to take this 2 months off, 3 months, 5 months? Like a lot of people are still off. And what is it going to happen? Are we going to do this at home? Like you're really kind of figuring out what am I going to do? And you're kind of trying to prepare for the worst. Am I going to get let go? And, you know, it was a lot of anxiety. I went through like every day. It was just like, okay, because it was weird. Like our prime minister would come on at, it was like 11. There was times he was really late, which was rude because everyone's tuning in at the same time at 11. This guy's like late coming out of his cottage. I'm like, come on, man. Millions and millions of people are waiting. And, you know, so you watch that at 11 and then at 12 o'clock, our premier of the province would, I guess you guys would call it the governor of your state, will come out at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock or something. And then you're trying to figure out what is he going to do with the province. And it was just crazy. You're so glued to the TV of like, okay, I gotta be on at 11 and then I gotta listen again at 1 and figure it out. And I think, was it 2 months into it, when they finally decided that we were going to stay open, I was like, oh man, so what do we do? to do I work from home, which would be awesome. No, I still had to go into work as usual. Obviously, you know, you got to have your PPE. We had to up our sanitization. And it was crazy because, you know, you guys experienced it too, where people were buying toilet paper, paper towel, like it was going out of style. And, you know, we couldn't find hand sanitizer for our workplace because, you know, when I'm buying stuff, I'm buying for 500 plus people to make sure they're continued to keep working. And, you know, as the weather changes, everyone's working outside. You want to make sure everyone is still safe. And it was just crazy. It was crazy. And podcasting kind of helped kind of alleviate this whole situation we were going through. But also, I still had to adapt. You have to adapt to what is happening and you really don't have a choice. You just got to adapt to the situation and pretend that it wasn't going. You were forced to wear PPE and that's it. Yeah. And just move on. So that's what I really had to do.
Yeah, that's kind of the same here. We were considered essential and depending on which place of work, they'll make you wear PPE. But once the government enforces, that's when everyone started wearing it. So then this will lead into basically those who would be following your footsteps, at least specifically in the podcast world. So what is some advice to those following your footsteps as a podcaster?
Just buy all the expensive equipment that everybody tells you on these blogs and then you're going to be super great. No, honestly, just try it out. Use your phone if you have to. Just try it out if you like it. Because when I started, I used the phone, I think, for the first 2 months. And then I got this mic off of Amazon for like $20 or $30. And then a year later on Black Friday, I literally picked up a Yeti for half the price. So if you guys are looking for a mic, definitely check out Prime Days, which is coming up as October 13, 14, I think it is. And then Black Friday, I was shocked. Like, I'm not paying $200 Canadian for a mic. I ended up paying $80 for it. So nice. I'm super happy with that. Yeah. So it was a great deal. But, you know, try it out. You're going to obviously judge yourself more because you're kind of like, do I listen to my episode? Then you're going to hate your voice, which I learned to accept my voice for what it is. And yeah, it's a crazy journey. Just enjoy it. Just think of it like you are having a conversation with your friends, because my style of podcasting is like, I'm going to go to a coffee shop, pretend we're going to a coffee shop and I'm just there to get to know you. I know that sounds strange. It's kind of like speed dating or going on a date, but really it's not. You're just getting to know that person, just hanging out. So I suggest keep your eye on the prize, figure out what you want to do with podcasting, who you want to target, what you want to talk about. And if it's just a little bit of everything, or if it's going to be the Bro Marshall, or that I feel like you talk about a little bit of everything too, hey, so be it. Just be creative and don't focus on the numbers. The numbers will come later. Just focus on your content. And if you reach one person, be thankful. If you reach two people, be thankful. Even five, just be thankful because it's a slow process. It's a lot of work, but depending what your goal is, you got to keep your eye on the prize.
No, I totally agree. Clearly, it seems like hard work has been paying off with your podcast too. So then you mentioned earlier that you also work on some projects here and there. So what are some projects that you are currently working on?
So I am one of the co-founders of The Co-op, which is the Circle of Outstanding Podcasts, which is... Yes, it's a group of individuals like yourself, because you're part of the group, who we decided to kind of create this community-based podcast, community-based, if that makes any sense. I had to think about it twice, where we want to bring all of these podcasters together and really help each other out, because I feel like community really helps you grow. And a lot of people don't know this. So I co-founded it with the Coupon Queenpin. She is a host of the podcast called CQP Moments. And when we first started working together on 90 Day Fiancé, I give it a couple weeks in, we noticed the growth with our podcasts. And then when we started to recap 13 Reasons Why, we started again, there is a huge growth between both podcasts. And now with Shower Karaoke, it's become this huge thing for the both of us. And it's a testament to show that you got to work with people for both of you to grow, but there's got to be something for the both of you. Either if it's promoting their podcast, if they're coming on your show, if you're doing a collaboration, make sure that episode is being released on the same day at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it goes on simultaneously. And this way you build that audience and that growth, just like with 13 Reasons Why. And that's how it started. So with the community, we encourage everybody to promote their episodes. We encourage them to provide feedback because we feel like it's still important to provide feedback. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to come up with monthly calls. I know we kind of took in the break through the whole pandemic, and I completely get that because everyone was on different schedules and things happened. A lot of people had to shut down their own businesses and stuff. And mm-hmm. a lot of our members were our essential workers too. So they were on the front lines and we kind of had to just, you know, let's just take a break. And I know some of them are still in school and trying to get back into routine. So this is a community where you can kind of just say, hey, Bromar, I want you on my show because I don't have a guest mm-hmm. and they didn't reply back to me and I need you to come on. And if you say yes, we'll do it. And if not, hey, maybe I can grab somebody else from this community. We have over about 30 podcasters and we're looking to grow. And the whole objective of this is to pretty much help each other grow in some way or another, be able to share guests, especially when we've got guests and they're like, hey, I want to be another podcast. Cool. Let me just dump your information to the community and hopefully you will fit to someone's podcast. And it's been going really well. We were supposed to do a huge meetup around this time, actually, in New York. And there was a company who was willing to kind of sponsor and allow us to use their space for free. And we were going to open it up to the community there in mm-hmm. New York City, because that's where we decided to meet up and be able, obviously, to meet the Coupon Queenpin, because I haven't met her yet. And we mm-hmm. worked together a lot. And we were going to kind of do like a live big podcasting, also do a panel with asking you guys to say, hey, like sharing your experiences with working with the co-op and how it's helped you grow or what your testimonies are. Mm-hmm. And open it to the community there and say, hey, you want to learn how to podcast? Well, come see us and, you know, have you guys as a panel and be able to speak as well of your experiences. So we had so much planned and we're hoping that can happen next year. Mm-hmm. Same concept, open it up to the public, create a panel and have some fun. Let's do a big shower karaoke. And and also, yeah, so that's happening. The co-op, I do virtual speaking. So I'm a champions, they call us the champions of speakers. Mm-hmm. I volunteer for the Learning Disabilities Association, very true to my heart, because obviously I have a learning disability. Mm-hmm. And being able to share my story and kind of just, you know, I don't want any child to go through what I've gone through, and hopefully gives them the light that they're capable of doing anything. And also kind of just help the parents to let them reassure them that you just got to give them the support and then they will succeed in life. Also, I have a merch line that came out recently called All Very Good. Mm-hmm. Also AVG, you can either call it both. And that's something that I was passionate about, but also getting into the customization world. So I've customized quite of the co-op's podcast merch. So they've got mugs now, they've got masks and t-shirts so they could go out and start marketing themselves. Mm-hmm. I know I've done some podcast cover arts redesigning and stuff. So I'm still working on this merch line and trying to see how I can get even more creative. But it's been fun so far, especially creating the custom merch. The other thing that I do, you're probably like, wow, lady, I only got an hour, man.
You're good.
heading out to the market. So here locally, they're doing like all these support local markets, because obviously during the pandemic, you mm-hmm. want to support local businesses. So as a photographer, I provide a service and take pictures of these vendors and highlight them through my social media, and utilizing that opportunity to create a relationship with these vendors. So if they need pictures done for whatever reason, I would be interested in doing so. Obviously, depending on when I can do it. And, you know, I love photography. It's such a passion. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to push that out more now that we can sort of go outside. And, you know, some of these people are so used to getting pictures for obviously the fall season. And I still want to provide a service to these markets because it's a great way to build that community relationship that I want to do with my whole brand in general. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what else do I got going on future wise? I can say the book is something that I want to work towards. Mm-hmm. And pretty much relating to my learning disability. And so this way parents can actually can take it home and read it and kind of see like, okay, so this is the similarities that we're going through. Let's see how I can help my child kind of go through the challenges they may have and such. And it's not just children, there's teenagers, there's adults that have learning disabilities. So I'm hoping that I can start writing this sooner and we'll see what happens for me, because there's a lot that's been happening and mm-hmm. it's a blessing.
Yeah, that's a lot more than what I have going on too. But I mean, it's good though, because with that, I think you can just basically just branch off and build from that. And I mean, yeah, the opportunities are pretty much endless in that regards. So now we're going to jump a little bit into the fun part here. So what are the best three facts about Canada that you can name?
Oh, boy. So first is multicultural. Mm-hmm. We're very multicultural. Like I can get any type of food if I wanted. Not much from back home. My parents are from Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to find people who make food from back home. Mm-hmm. I think there was just one, but I didn't like it. So it is multicultural. You can get any type of food. We're very friendly. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess half of us are. I don't know about the other half. But I could say I am friendly. The second is poutine. That's the best about Canada. I have cousins in Florida. When they come here, they're just like, I want your poutine. Mm-hmm. Sure, let's go have some poutine. It's so good. Like the cheese, I don't know what type of cheese it is. But it is originated from Quebec, which is, I'm going to botch this. Oh my God, I feel like embarrassing. It's the east side of Ontario. It's our neighbor province. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where it came from. Cheese, gravy, and some French fries. So that was like the best thing ever. Mm. Then all of a sudden you see everybody having it. McDonald's has their own version to it. Burger King has their own version to it. There's Poutinery, which is a franchise where you can just get any type of poutine. You can get a pierogi poutine, Mexi chili poutine. Like you just get anything. So poutine is the second thing. If you guys are visiting Canada, you need to just get a poutine. Long winters. I say the best is the long winters. Mm-hmm. Because I personally do not like summer.
Okay.
Hence why the meetup in New York City has to happen in October, November, because I cannot stand the heat. I love winter now. Before I used to love summer, but as my body changes, mm-hmm. and I learned to appreciate the winter. Plus, you get to kind of hibernate and you don't have to go outside. Mm. You can just put on a nice cozy sweater, have your hot chocolate, and just, I don't know. I just love that feeling, like that cabin type of feeling when mm-hmm. there's winter. And we do get a lot of snow. Mm-hmm. But with climate change, last year was crazy. I was just like, so we're going to have a summer winter or what? Like it was just, I was blown away, because then I heard that Brazil and Mexico got their first snowfall apparently last year when we were supposed to have winter. And yeah, I was just blown by that. Everyone's like, oh, this white stuff. I'm like, are we going to have a hot Christmas? Like that'd be crazy. Long winters are the best, but I'm sorry if you're not a winter person. It's long, long 9 months of frigid cold. And I'm usually outside with like the lightest spring jacket with a sweater and that's it. I did invest, and I'll tell you, this is crazy. I invested in a $400 jacket and I was working at this retail store. So it normally range for $800, but we used to get like 50% off clothing and shoes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I got to buy this jacket. Like it's going to be like minus 40. I might as well just buy this jacket, wear a t-shirt underneath and that's it. Mm-hmm. But when I bought this jacket, like Bromar, I felt like I was overheating. Like it felt like 100 degrees inside. I'm saying degrees. I know you guys do Fahrenheit and I don't even know the conversion, mm-hmm. but it was hot. I was like, dang. So I kind of retired the jacket, kept it in the closet just in case we ever reach minus 60. Mm-hmm. Or if I ever go to Calgary, because it's like below 40 all the time during the winter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was just like, you know, I'll just keep it. And I kind of just used a spring jacket with a sweater. So I was kind of like, yeah. So long winters are my favorite, poutine and how multicultural we are.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I mean, I've actually at some point did plan like a trip to Vancouver, but then of course COVID happened and I'm like, okay, you know what? We'll try a little bit up north next time and see if we could survive up there. So then this next one is, can you name your favorite 90 Day Fiancé couples? Since I know you're a big 90 Day Fiancé fan.
My favorite 90 Day Fiancé couples?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So my first one is Angela and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
53-year-old, for those who've never watched the show, it's a 53-year-old with a 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Angela's 53. Michael is 30.
Mm-hmm.
They've been the longest couple who's been trying to get married, and they finally did this past season, which ended. It's just, she's so funny, but I do not condone her craziness that she does with Michael, as in throw cake at his face and tell him to F you and F you and that's it. But overall, they're just a funny couple. I feel like that's actually true love. And he's learned to, I guess, love her, because at the beginning, you're kind of like, what?
Mm-hmm.
A 53-year-old? Like, dude, like, I don't know, man. Like, there's plenty of people that if you want to scam, I'm pretty sure they'll believe you. Yeah. But, you know, the other couple, I think this has been my favorite couple. Oh, Annie and Robert. Annie is a Dominican girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I think 27. And Robert is from Florida. Funny guy, just funny guy. And I think they were like 2-3 years apart, but he was just like so funny. He has 6 kids from other women.
Oh.
And I'm just like, damn, man. But he was just so funny with his attitude and everything. But they're happily married and they had a kid of their own. So that comes up to 7, Robert. 7. And if you screw this up, buddy, that's 7 payments of child support. Like, that's a lot. The other couple, let's mention one more. Oh, Lauren and Alexi. So they were from, I think, like season 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably on season 8 plus different mini series aside from that. She was from Florida as well, and he was from Israel. They're a super young, good-looking couple, and they made it work. You know, they made it work regardless of everything. He came here. They're still together. They're happily ever after, definitely. That's like the success story. Like, they actually loved each other. She left her amazing, amazing high-paying job in New York City to be closer to him, to adjust to the weather, to go to Florida. That's where her parents are from. And they made it work. They made it work. That's like a positive success story. But I know in the first 2 seasons of 90 Day Fiancé, it was very easy to watch. There was no drama.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, like, was this ring real from, I forgot her name was, in season 2. And most of the couples are still together. Some of them drifted apart, but most of them are. But as the season grew, it's just gone explosive. There's more drama. It's become like, I can't believe it. It's crazy how successful it is. And proven, I'll tell you this, so the episodes come on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the Super Bowl, or I think it was the Emmy Awards, I don't remember, but they were playing 90 Day Fiancé at the same time slot. The ratings came out.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, all these other important events that people usually watch, like Super Bowl Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and the Emmys and all that, they've always come in 3rd and 4th place on the ratings. So 90 Day Fiancé would take over the number one spot, which is pretty crazy how many people are watching this show.
Mm-hmm.
And now when there's a super huge event, they're not going to play the show on that night because they know it can ruin the ratings, especially when you've got people sponsoring these huge events, especially the Super Bowl. Like, you know how many commercials and millions of dollars goes towards it. And, you know, if you got 90 Day Fiancé killing it, it's like, well, there goes my money and my investment into the Super Bowl. So it's crazy how the show has grown and it's been taking over the ratings every Sunday and Monday, and people are still watching the reruns throughout the week.
Yeah, no, I didn't actually know that. And I know with the Emmys and the other award show, they've been having like a really bad kind of reputation with ratings. Like, they just every year they keep dropping. But I'm surprised with the Super Bowl, because I guess probably the teams that were playing, maybe they weren't anticipating, so maybe they were lower this year. Yeah, so I know we talked about favorite food here. What is something you would absolutely not eat?
Anything spicy? Yes, I know, Latina, you're supposed to be spicy. My attitude could be spicy. But not the food. No, that's just that's a no-no. No spicy. Nothing spicy. I'm sorry. That's like a 1 week, you know, time off, and you're just in the bathroom and that's it. No relish. I hate relish. Yeah. I don't know why people like relish peanut butter, but the spread, the peanut butter spread, nuh-uh. The smell of it, the smell of peanut butter, I just can't. And people are probably like yelling at their radio stations or their phones. But no, I can't do peanut butter. I just can't. I can do an O. Henry bar. I'm not sure if you guys will have O. Henry. I feel like I'm talking to foreign country.
I don't know. I mean, depending on which area or part of the U.S., it might be able to. I think the closer north. Yeah, that's probably where we'll find it. Probably North Dakota, maybe.
Oh, okay. 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 Yeah. So I think New York has an. Because I used to go to Buffalo a lot when the dollar was great. Yeah. Mm. So peanut butter, that's no. But in peanuts in a chocolate bar, I can do. Mm. I won't eat liver. I hate liver. Yeah, the smell like liver. Of it drives me nuts. But I think it's like a Spanish thing anyway to have it with onions. And ugh, it's just I can't. chicken feet, referencing from 90 Fiancé. No, I don't eat chicken feet either. Yeah. I don't know how that became a thing. Pig ears. Nope. I cannot do pig ears or a pig nose. I cannot. Like my in-laws eat it, but I cannot. When I see it on the table and there's like this big nose just chilling there. Surprisingly, I can eat the pig feet, but I can't do the ears or the nose. That just grosses me out and I won't eat it. I don't care. I don't care if it's the same flesh, obviously, from the feet to the whole body of the pig. Mm-hmm. I know this may sound disgusting for some of you and I'm sorry, but I won't eat it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, it's for me. I mean, I don't eat those just because it's a texture thing. It's like, this is gross. This is not the same as what I found in a chicken breast or like in a beef tenderloin or whatever. So it's like,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's squishy, especially when it's boiled. But if it's fried or if it's grilled, well, I still won't eat the ears or the nose. But you know how the big pig feast of the grill and, you know, a lot of Spanish cultures do it and also Filipinos and more of the South Americas too as well do it. Yeah, I would eat that no problem, but yeah, those two, no, not boiled.
So I mean, hopefully you would not find this on a stranded island, but if you were stranded on an island, what is one thing you would bring?
A recorder. Why? Because I can record as much as I can. I know recorders nowadays don't have enough space, but I could try to record my life, I guess, on this island and, I don't know, turn it into a movie and be like, Wilson!
I think that's what Michelle Miller from Mentors on Mic, actually, her first answer was like a microphone.
Podcaster mind.
So, I mean, depending on, and this I think would fit so greatly because, you know, here in the U.S. and Canada, we have different holidays. So what would be your favorite holiday?
This is a tough one. I learn and love to hate holidays. I guess because there's so much happening within families. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I'm so used to living at home where you're just like, it's just the four people. And then your husband will come over. Well, at the time we were dating, it was my boyfriend. But I don't know. This one's a tough one. I would say Thanksgiving because I get to eat turkey. Even though Christmas, you do tend to eat turkey. But it depends on the household that we end up getting invited to. But Thanksgiving is probably one of my favorites because, you know, we don't eat turkey every day. And I just love turkey. And our Thanksgiving is coming up. I'm not sure when this episode's coming out, but I cannot wait for this weekend. It's turkey, turkey, gobble, gobble. I'm so excited. I'm ecstatic. You know, have those mashed potatoes with that cranberry sauce and some gravy over it. Maybe I'll add some cheese on it to kind of make it a mashed potato poutine. But you know, I just love Thanksgiving because of the whole turkey thing. Of course there's a meaning behind it and being thankful, and there's more to it if you want to go into the history books, but at the moment I'm gonna say it's that turkey. I know we have a lot of holidays here too. Like we've got Family Day, but you're kind of like, I see my family every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is Queen Victoria's birthday, May 24, which it's sad, but the other meaning of May 24 is basically you buy a 24 to celebrate the beginning of spring, not Queen Victoria's birthday, but... She gave us that holiday and she's getting that nickname of May 24. Get that 24. Canada Day. I can say Canada Day can be my other holiday because I'm very thankful to be living in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying general, I'm not touching any other topics here, but it's just, you know, my parents did that sacrifice of deciding either to stay in the United States, move to Australia, or move to Canada. And mm-hmm. they decided to just, you know, come to Canada and born here and raised, and I'm very thankful, and I become very patriotic on the July 1st, and I'm super thankful, like the opportunities and everything, life here, I wouldn't change it.
Well, that's really nice. So then I feel like you actually just mentioned your petty hill, which was that you don't like peanut butter spread. So I don't know if there's any other petty hills you would die on, like for example, you don't eat spicy food. That's another one I would say. I mean, from a Latino standpoint, which I mean, normally I don't mind for that one, but I'm not sure you have any others you could mention.
Probably the peanut butter and the spicy food. Like, yeah, that, I don't know. I love food, mm-hmm. but anything spicy, or it's funny, I can have Thai food with peanut sauce, mm-hmm. but it doesn't smell like peanut butter spread. Like, ugh. But anything spicy, I can picture it if it was the floor was lava. I don't know if I'm on that hill. I'd probably be stuck on there and be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so then where can your podcast be found?
So my podcast is available on 15 podcast platforms. It's also available on Pandora, iHeartRadio, of course, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that fun stuff, Himalaya. There's so many out there. You just Google it. You'll find wherever you listen to podcasts. Even you're just go to my website at everythingwithange.com and you can find all my social media. You can find my podcast there and more information of what I do.
All right. Well, you know what? It's been fun having you here, and I'm glad that we got to know about your new normal, and along with that, the new normal in Canada, I guess. So at some point, the co-op should definitely make a stop by at Canada for sure. So
yeah, we should. We should take over Toronto.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by, Angelica. All right, so that's going to do it for me now. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you follow The Bromar Show on Instagram, which is at The Bromar Show. We also have an official Bromar Show page in which you can go and visit at bromarmedia.home.blog. I post in some articles here and there, and you can also tune in to the most recent episode of The Bromar Show. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. And if you enjoyed the content, make sure you go ahead and share with your friends and let people know about The Bromar Show. I think it's time to spread the word around. And honestly, it's just for entertainment purposes most of the time. And sometimes I do provide some important information that you should know. But for majority of the time, because it is COVID, I think it matters more and more and more that, well, people just have some way to escape their current reality, because let's face it, this could be the new normal for until election day, maybe. So we'll go ahead and push through. And thanks again for listening. And until next time.